Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. He's Les Levine. I'm Jeff Phelps. And joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. He's Nate Ulrich. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Nate.
We're doing well. Hey. Thank you very much. I was looking at a mock draft this morning, and I saw Dwayne Haskins as the first quarterback off the board, and then Drew Lock out of Missouri. And then a bunch of guys who aren't high on anybody's draft board, but teams in need of quarterback getting ready to take him. And my first thought was, oh, thank God the Browns got their quarterback last year. And I don't think we can overstate where this team is because of that as they go into this offseason, Nate.
Yeah, it's huge. It's the most important thing for a football team. And it's funny, Jeff, because I just posted like a combine preview analysis looking at, you know, positions of need, players to watch type thing. And my little introduction here says, you know, basically that there's a weird feeling surrounding the Browns because of Baker Mayfield, and it's weird in a good way. This is the first time in years they're not going to the combine focused on finding that franchise quarterback.
And if you're thinking of what Dorsey has to do, he actually could be in a position where he takes the best player available. And we've, you know, they always give lip service to that, but I think they really mean it this time.
Absolutely. And if you look at the needs, I mean, there are plenty of them. I think in a really rich defensive draft, you know, you could see the Browns going defensive tackle or defensive end, maybe even linebacker, maybe even corner. And it gives you that flexibility to go best player available. He says best player available. A lot of guys say best player available. You're usually marrying that with a need, but you're probably going to be more best player available than you would be because, you know, hey, you got that ultimate important position out of the way.
Nate, I've seen mock draft after mock draft so far, and everyone has had the Browns taking either an offensive tackle or a defensive lineman. And I think there was one that had an edge rusher coming from the linebacker spot. I would think that's kind of what we can expect in this draft. And it might not be something that gets everybody all excited, but boy, it's an opportunity to start building a football team in a different way, is it not? And would you agree maybe one of the lines one way or another might be the way he goes here?
I do. I mean, the defensive line class is so strong that I think you could get a really good defensive lineman there. Either, you know, a tackle, especially a tackle. The tackle class is really deep. But I think you could get a good tackle or a good end at 17. I wouldn't be shocked if John Dorsey really liked one of those guys and moved up a little bit just because of his aggressive nature. But I think the biggest real need that the Browns have right now is bolstering the pass rush, whether that's adding an end to really complement Myles Garrett. You know, they had the chance to take Bradley Chubb last year. They prioritized cornerback and took Denzel Ward instead. I get that, but I think you really need to bolster that pass rush. You could also do it with a really good three technique. And I think that it was interesting that Steve Wilks kind of said that in his introductory news conference. Hey, there's more than one ways to kind of skin this cat with a pass rush, and a really strong three technique could be another solution. So I'm kind of looking at those positions. Offensive tackle is interesting, Jeff. I think a lot of it hinges on what they do with Greg Robinson. You know, if he comes back, I don't think that they'll necessarily invest, you know, a first-round draft pick in that position, but could look to obviously, you know, get a developmental guy a little bit later in the draft.
Nate, is it possible it's which comes first, chicken or the egg? Are they sitting there and saying, let's go to the draft route and then fill in with free agents after that? Or maybe is their mindset the other way around?
Well, I mean, just the way it works out, you know, in the NFL with the free agency coming on March 13th, you kind of, you know, you have a way better idea of what your list of needs are, you know, after that, you know, initial wave of free agency. You're going to know if you have Greg Robinson back, you know, and then you'll be able to kind of, you know, strategize from there.
You think this team is close enough, Nate, where John Dorsey is going to really make a big push in free agency? Because oftentimes you see NFL teams use free agency where, all right, let's go over the top. Because clearly, you know, as many draft choices as you have, you don't have, you know, the first pick in every draft, in every round like you did in the past. Do you think they're close enough where Dorsey thinks, yep, let's fill it out with some good free agents and let's go try and win this thing now? And I don't mean the Super Bowl, but maybe the division and get into the playoffs and go from there? Or no?
Well, here's the way I look at it. The window to contend is open when you have your franchise quarterback on a rookie contract. That's the time you really want to try to, you know, take that next step, get in the playoffs and add and be aggressive in doing so. So I think that, you know, hey, with $78+ million in salary cap space, they're going to be active. I don't think they're going to go crazy in free agency. I think John Dorsey loves to trade. I mean, he traded early and often last year in the offseason, and I think that he could do that again. He likes to find these guys who, you know, are, you know, in their primes. You know, think about it. I mean, Jarvis Landry, Demaryius Randall, guys who just kind of aren't fitting in where they're at, whether it's, you know, a personality issue, a contractual issue, and he likes to be able to capitalize on situations, give them a change of scenery, and you see what happened with those guys. I think the trades are something to pay attention to. I think he'll be active in free agency, probably not sign quite as many guys as last year. I think that was a double-digit number because he was trying to, you know, turn around an 0-16 team. But I think he'll be active.
And, Nate, I agree with you on the trades, especially when you have so many fifth-round draft choices and later-round picks stocked up. If you can turn those things into guys who can come in and start for you on a trade from another team, because that guy doesn't fit there for whatever reason, man, you do that in a heartbeat, don't you? It's the most underused way to acquire talent in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, remember that day? It was, I think, the Friday before free agency opened, and he just made splash after splash after splash. You know, Tyrod Taylor, obviously, at the time, it looked like a bigger move than it ended up being because Baker Mayfield's, entrance in the starting lineup came earlier than the Browns had planned with Taylor getting the concussion. We know the rest is history, but, you know, Taylor was a big move, and Randall and Landry, obviously, too. So, you know, trades continued from there. I think that, that's something we have to keep in mind, that this guy just loves the wheel and deal. He has 10 draft picks. He's got 2 in the third round. You know, he's got 3 in the fifth round. So he's got some capital to work with, along with all that salary cap space.
Well, he also comes from a place where they get quarterbacks every year. Do you see them doing that draft-wise? You see them maybe with a veteran guy, or is Stanton the guy, and that's it? As the second,
that's a really interesting question. I could see them being okay with Stanton as the backup. He's got, you know, a good record as a starter when he's called upon, in spot duty. So I could see him being that guy. He's obviously close with Freddie Kitchens, but they could draft a guy, a developmental guy, they could sign another guy. Tyrod Taylor's going to be gone, so I see him adding to the position. But I just don't have a great feel for, you know, is it going to be, you know, a developmental guy in a draft? Is it going to be a veteran guy? Because, you know, I think Drew Stanton could be the number two if they wanted him to.
And with that, Nate, I think it would be a change in philosophy a little bit, or at least a change in what we've seen, where you always had the guy you were hoping would be the starter, and you made sure you had, you know, some kind of a veteran backup there with him. And if you could have Stanton as that backup, but then start to develop that next guy in line. You know, and I think of John Dorsey's past in Green Bay, where they had Mark Brunell, and they developed him. And you had Matt Hasselbeck, and you developed him. And they might go on to other places, but you end up getting something for these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that they're obviously in the best situation they've been in, you know, in the expansion era with Baker Mayfield having the kind of rookie season he did. So, you know, that takes care of so much, but yeah, you've got to be able to supplement. That's as important as that position is. You got to be able to have guys ready to go. So I think that, you know, we'll see them address that. We're going to be able to ask John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens. Kitchens on Wednesday in Indianapolis, Dorsey on Thursday in Indianapolis at the combine. And so we'll start to get more of a feel on their outlook with the backup quarterbacks.
So far, they haven't lied to us, have they?
You know, this is what they call lying season, as you guys know. So, you know, maybe there's going to be some curveballs thrown, but I don't think that that would be an area that they would have to really, you know, keep it close to the vest. They've got Baker Mayfield, so things are looking way up at quarterback, and they can be a little more relaxed about all that.
Nate Ulrich joining us, covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal, the Akron Beacon Journal, and Ohio.com. Take us through what's going to happen next week at the Combine. And I've never been there. I know you've been there. It's an interesting event. I love watching it on television, even though it's boring enough to watch to make paint dry or whatever everybody wants to say. But it's a fascinating thing to me. From your perspective, what goes on? What do you do?
Well, you know, it starts really on Wednesday with, you know, Freddie Kitchens and other head coaches and executives are going to interview. The players start talking on Thursday and then start working out on Friday. So really, you know, for the Browns, you know, they get to interview, every team gets to interview 60 players. They're 15-minute meetings. These are the formal meetings. They also, you know, get to meet with guys informally, but they have the allotted number of formal interviews at the combine, and teams use those very strategically and, you know, kind of go through their lists and target specific guys. And, you know, then the workouts are the workouts. We get to see those, like you said, on NFL Network, ESPN, you know, so that's pretty much the gist of it. The most important thing there that you know, the GMs, John Dorsey will tell you this is, you know, it's the medical and it's the medical stuff. The medical stuff is the most important and the interviews, you know? So those are what teams really focus on more than anything there. And then, you know, we're talking about trades, guys. They can't finalize trades until March 13th, but trades can be agreed upon at any time. We've seen a couple big trades agreed upon already this offseason. So, you know, the groundwork for a lot of these deals is laid at the combine. It's a huge convention for the NFL, basically, with the agents and, you know, all the bigwigs from every team are in Indianapolis.
Hey Nate, this is new to Freddie Cousins, too, his first rodeo as a head coach. You said 60 players. Does one guy control all the interviews, or do they divide it around offense, defense, or is there one of the coaches specialized in it? How does that work?
Well, I think for the formal interviews, you know, it's kind of, you know, John Dorsey is kind of running the room. You know, they'll have a room set up, and then, you know, the player will come in, and it'll be Dorsey and, you know, probably you know, Elliot Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, Freddie Kitchens, you know, and, you know, probably the coordinators. And, you know, I think that's kind of how that goes. But then when it comes to, like, the informal stuff, you'll see the position coaches, the scouts, they'll kind of, you know, be making the rounds and getting information from guys like that kind of off to the side. So it's a little bit of both.
Nate, enjoy Indianapolis in February.
Oh, thanks so much. I really appreciate that.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week, I hope.
Thanks, Nate.
All right.
Thank you, Nate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.